statements and opinions by guests of Mysterious Radio are not to be considered as endorsed by sponsors or affiliated networks. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of Mysterious Radio is strictly prohibited.
Get ready for a night filled with conspiracies, strange places, the paranormal, UFOs, legends, and myths from around the world. With your hosts, K-Town, on Mysterious Radio.
All right, thank you for joining me tonight for another edition of Mysterious Radio. I am your host, K-Town, and tonight we're going to be talking about UFOs and demons and whether they are one in the same. My special guest tonight is Gary Bates, and he has talked about this for years and extensively all over the world. We're going to hear what Gary Bates has to say about it. He has written an Amazon top 50 bestseller called Alien Intrusion, UFOs, and the Evolution Connection. You need to get this book on Amazon. You have to get it, okay? He also produced and directed a movie-style documentary based on his book, Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception. Check out Gary's website at creation.com. All right, my special guest tonight is author Gary Bates, and he's going to be discussing the perplexing and some would say very disturbing phenomena of UFOs and aliens. Gary has written a best-selling book called Alien Intrusion that takes a deeper look into why we are seeing and experiencing these interactions, which seem to be accelerating. This book is available for you on Amazon.com. Gary, I want to thank you very much for joining me tonight on Mysterious Radio.
Most welcome, Kay. My pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Now, Gary, before we start in on this, can you tell my listeners a little bit more about yourself and why you decided to write this book in the first place?
Sure. I am the CEO of a ministry called Creation Ministries International. Our website is creation.com. We have offices in 7 countries around the world. To the best of my knowledge, I think we employ more PhDs, more scientists than any Christian ministry in the world. And we primarily deal, our focus is with the issue of origins, creation versus evolution. Now, one of the reasons I got involved in this is when I started to work for the ministry full-time in Brisbane, Australia. I'm now based in Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up a science fiction fan, and I didn't become a Christian until my adult years. And at the time, I was really the only one in the ministry that realized, if you like, what I've called the evolution connection to beliefs in things like aliens, you know, not only visiting us, but just basically populating the universe. And it kind of goes like this, you know, the evolutionary view, the Big Bang, which is the most popular view in academia today, is that if there was a Big Bang 14 billion years ago and life by chance happened to evolve on the Earth, then in a billions of years old universe, it could have happened countless times over. And this was the basis. So when I first went to my first UFO conference and I heard a UFO investigator get up and actually say this, and he said, look, you know, we believe our Milky Way is in a relatively young part of the universe. There could be alien races who've evolved millions or even billions of years in advance of human beings. And therefore, could you imagine, you know, seeing a race that would be millions of years or billions of years advanced in their technology? And that's how come, you know, aliens can build hyperdrive, warp drive spaceships, visit the Earth. You know, they perhaps seeded life on Earth here millions of years ago, as people believe. But that's also why they can stealthily abduct people in the middle of the night and we can't see them, and they play cat and mouse with us. So the idea that they're older on the evolutionary scale, therefore more technologically advanced, is a belief. It obviously, it's not science. We can't prove that. We can't test it. But for them, it checks all the boxes of why this is mysterious and why we can't kind of nail it down in a scientific manner.
Very good. Now, you said relatively young. How young do you think we are?
Well, we take we obviously take a biblical view, and the Bible's time frame certainly doesn't allow more than for a few thousand years when you look at the genealogies and the chronogenealogies going back to Adam. And that's what all the great theologians and scholars of the past believed. But there's also scientific evidence that, you know, when people hear, you know, about creationist views, they usually use the tag young earth creation. But as from a scientific endeavor, most people don't know, and I've been speaking on this subject for over 25 years, if I said to somebody, why do you think the earth is old? Why do you think the earth is billions or millions of years old? Most people have no idea. They'll just say, well, isn't that what scientists show? And I say, yeah, but specifically, what do scientists show? And, you know, we've done surveys in universities. I've stood there on the street corners and on campus asking even the science students coming past. Most people don't know. The whole basis of an ancient Earth, it's not radiometric dating, as people think. You actually can't do a test to prove the age of anything. All you're doing is measuring radioisotopes in your sample. But the whole concept of an ancient Earth is predicated on geologic layers. So let me use the Grand Canyon as an example. Lots of people have seen it. In the Grand Canyon, have these very fine layers, you know, maybe only a couple of millimeters thick. They believe that each layer takes about a year. The particles and sediments are washed in by water and dust, and then the next year another layer. So they see hundreds of millions of layers, and they assume it took hundreds of millions of years to lay down the canyon. Well, one of the things that turned me from being a secular evolutionist into a Bible believer was actually seeing evidence in our modern time through catastrophic events like Mount St. Helens, volcanic explosions, dam breaches, where, you know, tens of feet of sediments were actually being laid down rapidly and catastrophically, in some cases, just in a matter of hours. And it seems that all of these layers, when you put them and jumble them up in a kind of a washing machine, they have a self-sorting effect. So once it was explained to me that a lot of the geologic layers around the Earth that allegedly give us evidence of deep time could have been laid down catastrophically, and then they said, well, the Bible records an event commonly known as Noah's flood, which could have laid down these layers. And then quite simply, somebody just challenged me one day and said, well, think about it. If there really was a global flood, by the way, a lot of UFO believers believe in a global flood because they love the Bible as well. What would the evidence be? And the evidence you would expect to think or to see would be thousands of meters of sedimentary layers all over the Earth with fossils in them. And guess what we see? Thousands of meters of sedimentary layers all over the Earth with fossils in them. So the point here is that both creationists and evolutionists have the same facts. No one was there in the past to see those layers laid down. So we interpret data in the present based on our belief system about the past. No one on this Earth knows how the Grand Canyon was formed. You can't go back in a time machine and do scientific tests. So we see a canyon with lots of layers with a river running through it. And the belief is it was laid down slowly and slowly eroded by the river. But as I said, we've seen in modern times things like Mount St. Helens that has laid down, put down layers very rapidly and has carved out canyons in a matter of hours. So it really changed my view of history, started to make me realize that there was another way of interpreting the data out there. And it's that kind of approach that I used when I came to the UFO subject. What I've discovered, Kay, is, and you've probably realized this as well, most people have a pre-belief before they ever look at the data.
Right.
You know, I've given lots of lectures and I can almost see, you know, in my mind's eye now as I'm talking to you, you know, the kind of the groupies get there, they sit down on the front row and they're just salivating, waiting for you to tell them that, yes, aliens are really visiting us from a galaxy far, far away and are stealthily abducting people in the middle of the night. They're what I call the true believers. And they're kind of constrained in a way by their worldview of trying to accept or trying to make every UFO sighting, every experience, they really want it to be advanced aliens. So they kind of tend to work towards trying to justify or prove every sighting that case. Then you get what I call the skeptic. And he might be an atheist, the evolutionist. He really wants, he says, look, I believe in evolution out there. It could have happened all over the place, but science shows it's impossible for them to get here. They don't take the technological approach because the laws of physics don't allow it. We can talk about that if you like. So he says, you know, every sighting actually has to be explained as either natural or man-made phenomena, or people are having psychological delusions. You know, Susan Blackmore from England has tried to, you know, create strong magnetic fields in a room and says it gives the impression of having other occupants or, you know, people looking over your shoulder, and they go to all these lengths trying to prove that it's not aliens or it's not even supernatural. And then there's even the Christian approach. And I've canvassed against this because a lot of Christians try to say, well, every sighting, every experience has to be supernatural. It has to be demonic, when it simply isn't the case. You know, we can explain over 90% of UFO sightings as either naturalistic or man-made phenomena. So I've kind of, even though I'm a Christian, I've taken a fourth approach, which I think is a wiser one, and that is you use the scientific method to try to explain what it is, and you only go to the supernatural when the actual evidence demands it, not just because you don't know what it is. So, for example, my book, which we didn't mention the title, is called Alien Intrusion, UFOs, and the Evolution Connection, was recently made into a movie, and it was released in theaters in the United States and over 730 screens. It's called Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception. And we kind of brought the book a little bit more up to date. We interviewed guys like Nick Redfern, who's kind of, you know, written over 40 books on the subject. He's the History Channel's go-to guy on UFO hunters and ancient aliens and this type of thing. And we also showed some clips from a press conference, the Washington UFO press conference. It was organized by the Disclosure Group. And here we had over 80 Air Force officers. They're not just enlisted guys. These were high-ranking officers who each one after the other got up and gave testimony of these objects being seen flying up to 7,000 miles per hour, doing right-angle turns without slowing down, and even descending and entering missile silos and affecting the operational readiness of our nuclear weapons. And, you know, even someone like myself, it's a lot easier to try to say, well, that couldn't have really happened. But these are guys that are tracking these things on radar. They're getting up, giving their testimonies, putting their own credibility at stake. And, you know, when over 80 of them get up and give you evidence like that, then the evidence demands that something is going on. And, of course, then it is, how do you approach it? Well, real science shows that you can't travel faster than the speed of light. And I know your listeners might be saying, hang on, he can't say that because in the future we don't know what technologies might exist, etc. But here's the point. The same laws of physics that govern us on Earth, that causes our planet to go around the sun and holds all of our planets in place in the solar system and stops our galaxy flying apart, the same physics apply everywhere because we can observe the motion of the galaxies throughout the universe. So there is no different physics out there. And if the same laws of physics apply out there, there are problems with acceleration, deceleration. There are problems with interstellar dust. I mean, impacting one grain of dust at 50% of the speed of light would be like 10 tons of TNT going off on inside or, you know, impacting your spaceship and so on. We've got issues like cosmic radiation that you've got to try to shield against. And, you know, it's impossible because it is going to permeate everything in the ship. So when you see vehicles going at 7,000 miles an hour in our own atmosphere doing right angle turns without slowing down, well, you'd be like an egg splattered up against the wall. So resorting to unknown exotic scientific speculation to try to deal with those things is really not a science approach. It's a science fiction approach. And so that's why I think the evidence in those cases leads us to something that is interdimensional, paranormal or paraphysical, as Dr. J. Allen Hynek and you know, Jacques Vallée, some of the world's leading investigators of the past, that's the terminology they use to explain it. As a Christian, what we're seeing, the evidence we're seeing, fits right in the wheelhouse of traditional Christianity, because it's always, the Bible has always said there is another realm or dimension to our own. We would call it a spiritual dimension. It's mentioned having visitors from those dimensions throughout recorded history. When those visitors, which the Bible calls angels, and I know when you say angels, people have a kind of a cultural view of some glowing being with fairy wings, but point to me one example in the Bible where you see that. No, these beings come across, they affect our environment, they physically affect people, they manifest in different forms. And when I say they physically affect people, they've even killed people on occasion. So listen, affect our environment, interact with people, take different forms. You know, if I was looking at that as a ufologist, I'm saying check, 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 because that's exactly what we see there as well. So what I've discovered, and I kind of rub shoulders with the ufologists who are not Christians, and like Nick Redfern and those guys, here's the thing. We all agree about the nature of the phenomenon and how it presents itself. And as I said, they might use the term interdimensional. I might use the word supernatural. But in the movie, we had an interview with Dr. John Mack. And you would know him, for the benefit of your listeners. Dr. John Mack was the professor of the head of department of Harvard Medical School. And many years ago, he heard about Bud Hopkins' research interviewing people who were abductees. And Mack was a skeptic. He was raised in a materialistic home, no religious upbringing. And he said, you know, this is interesting. There's got to be something clinical. There's got to be some psychosis going on with all of these people who claim they're being abducted by aliens, because it can't be happening. But when he actually started to look at the evidence for himself and researched it, he became a believer into the fact that something was happening to these people. And he said, as a physician, I can tell you, he said that fantasy does not present the symptoms of these victims. He said childhood fantasies do not present themselves. Lies do not present themselves. The only thing that presents itself in this way is real trauma. And then we have a second interview with another PhD psychologist, where Mack himself, so this is the guy who doesn't come from my religious background, if you like, turns around and says, what we are dealing with is spirit beings who should have stayed in their realm, but in fact are crossing over into our realm and, you know, physically, basically terrorizing people. So people don't have to believe little Joe Christian. As I said, the people like me and the non-Christians all agree about the nature of the phenomenon, how it presents, and that it is not emanating from our own physical realm. It's not coming from a galaxy far, far away, that it's appearing, disappearing from another realm or dimension.
Okay. All right. So that's interesting that you say that, Gary. So you're essentially saying that these are beings that should have stayed in their own realm, but they're coming over here under the guise of aliens.
Correct, because the whole concept of aliens is actually only a modern phenomenon. Dr. Jacques Vallée, who's one of the most, you know, respected researchers in this, he, if people actually remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind by Spielberg, the lead investigator was a Frenchman. In the movie, his name was Lacombe, but Spielberg was paying homage to valet, and the lead character was in fact based upon valet's person. At the end of the movie, Dr. J. Allen Hynek also makes an appearance. He researched UFOs for the US government for over 20 years under Project Blue Book, for example. So these are the guys that show that this phenomenon has been happening throughout history. Valet said in the past people had encounters with beings called fairies. Now, when I mention the word fairy today, we kind of think of myth and legend, because if a little entity stood at the bottom of your bedroom in the middle of the night and said, well, I'm a fairy, well, we've dismissed that. The first thing you'd think is that you had a dream or you're losing your mind. But you know what? 150 years ago, 200 years ago, fairies were pop culture, just like UFOs and aliens are today, being depicted by science fiction and our investigation of other planets. And prior to that, you go back to the Middle Ages, and it's recorded, well documented, that people were having encounters with beings called demons, and they were known as the incubus and the succubus, and they would manifest. They would physically torment, rape both men and women in the middle of the night as well. And then you look at around third world cultures who've never been brought up with science fiction stories today. They have their own encounters with what they call their spirit beings, etc. So the phenomenon is nothing new. It's been around for as long as we have recorded history. In the movie, we even mentioned Alexander the Great, who said that his army was attacked by these flying discs that actually spat fire at him. American Indians have stories of flying canoes with occupants on board. So it's manifested itself. This is what most researchers believe. It's manifested itself according to the potential or the ability of the culture of the day. In this modern realm, it appears as glorious spacemen. That's also what John Keel found out and wrote about as well. And Nick Redfern, again, doesn't come from a Christian background. He's probably the world's leading author on this subject today. He believes that it's a kind of a meme, the way that they manifest themselves. He believes also we are not really truly dealing with UFOs, extraterrestrials, aliens, whatever you'd like to call them.
So you're saying that these spirit beings are, according to the Bible, I saw you say that they are fallen angels, or you believe that they are?
Yeah, I do. You know, you've got to also look at the nature of people's experiences. And again, all the secular researchers agree that what's happening to people is not beneficial. Now, some people listening to this might say, well, hang on, I've been abducted and, you know, they've told me I'm going to help harbor and bring the earth into a new age and I'm part of some cosmic great plan.
Right, right.
That's what people are often told. But initially, they're often traumatized by their experiences. They suffer post-traumatic stress syndrome in the majority of cases. You know, one of the classic examples of this was Whitley Strieber, who wrote the book Communion. He originally talked about being terrified, sodomized, raped, held, pinned down, but eventually he became, I suppose, for want of a better word, used to it, and he became aligned with the cause of his tormentors. And that's a medical or psychological phenomenon known as Stockholm Syndrome. We see it with people today who are kidnapped by terrorists. You know, when abuse is inflicted upon any individual, whether it's physical, verbal, sexual, psychological, what happens is, in a strange, bizarre way, Stockholm Syndrome causes you to become aligned with your abuser, because in a perverse way, the isolation of your experience, the only person who really understands what you're going through is the person that's doing the abusing to you. People might remember years ago, Patty Hearst, the newspaper heiress, got kidnapped, disappeared for a few months, and the next thing they saw footage of her brandishing a machine gun when they were holding up a bank. And that was a good example of how she became aligned with the cause of her terrorist kidnappers, etc. So I think this is what's happening with the UFO phenomenon. Most people do not regard it as beneficial, but some people, because of the ongoing abductions and the experiences, end up becoming aligned and saying, yeah, look, I know they treated me really bad, but, you know, perhaps they don't say please on Pleiades when they rape people, and perhaps that's just their culture. It doesn't make any sense, Kay, because if these alleged beneficial aliens who were here to help us, you know, grow and, you know, become more enlightened spiritual beings, if they've been watching us for centuries, there's no excuse, because they should know what afflicts human beings. They should know that we don't respond to those things. They should know that rape and sexual interference and sticking probes in, up your nose and through your eyes and through your ears is not going to have a good effect on people. Why do they lie? This is the big red flag that constantly comes up when I talk to researchers. Why do they lie about things which we consistently know are true? I interviewed Norio Hayakawa, who's been investigating this for over 40 years. He lives in Albuquerque. We interviewed him. And he said, we can be absolutely sure. He said that they lie, and they lie about their origin, where they come from, and they lie about their intent. And to be quite blunt, if somebody lies to you, yeah, they're a liar. Why would you want to trust them?
You're exactly right, Gary. Now, okay, so explain this to me and to my listeners. Do you believe there is life elsewhere in the universe per se, or, you know, real aliens that aren't demonic, or are we it?
No, I believe we're it. And one of the reasons is, you know, we've only got to look in our own neighborhood that the conditions for life kind of have to be absolutely perfect. Our Earth is in what we call the Goldilocks zone. You know, if we're a bit closer to our star, the sun, we'd fry. If we're even a fraction further away, we'd freeze. Our moon is the perfect distance from the sun. It's actually retreating from the Earth, sorry, not from the sun, from the Earth. It's retreating by a couple of centimeters a year. But, you know, even a million years ago, it would have been that much closer to the Earth that it would have caused tides that would wash, you know, tens of miles upon the shore and retreat, you know, twice a day. So that would have eroded down all the land masses by now. But we need the moon to be in the perfect spot it is, to give us the perfect tides to oxygenate our oceans. If the oceans just sat there and didn't have these movements, they would stagnate. It's like a pool of water in your back garden. It would stagnate after a period of time. There are about 120 examples that scientists use to kind of give the, or what they actually say is it gives the impression that the universe, not just the Earth or our solar system, that the universe looks specifically designed for human life upon the Earth. It's something called the anthropic principle. Now, they might not believe it's been designed, but they say there are so many examples that, you know, one could easily gain that impression. So it's only their pre-belief or their prejudice that says, no, there is no designer, there's no God, there's no creator, it all happened to come about by chance. So when we take that example and we look elsewhere, yes, we are finding extrasolar planets beyond our own solar system. But often when we look at them, they're too large. So they're, you know, gas giants like Jupiter, where gravity would be multiple times that of Earth. They're too far from their neighboring star, so the temperatures are freezing, or they're too close, so the temperatures would be boiling. And, you know, even if we did happen to find a planet that was the right size, the right distance from its sun, according to evolution, you know, the cosmic dice just happen to fall in the right order like they did here on Earth. I mean, it's a massive cosmic lottery. So the second view, of course, is that there is a creator. And again, if we take the Bible at face value, the idea that God created intelligent life elsewhere would violate the gospel, the very reason that God created life on earth here and that the Savior, Jesus, came to earth. If people want to know more about that, and that might challenge them a little bit, even the Christians that are listening, if they want to go to creation.com and just type in the words, "Did God create life on other planets?" There's a very comprehensive article that explains the issue of why it's a problem. One of the things, Kay, I think that I've learned underpins people's belief in life on other planets, obviously evolution we've discussed, but even the Christian view that God could have created life there is that they say, well, why would God have made the universe so big just to put us here?
Right.
But think of the very first verse of the Bible that everybody knows really well. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There's two parts to that statement. First, it says, "In the beginning, God." So it means that he preceded the space-time universe that he made. So let me flesh that out. I want us to think about what time is. So here on the Earth, we measure time. The Earth rotates with a light source on it, and we use that convention, those measurement conventions, to define what a day is. Light appears, it disappears, it comes back up, and we say, okay, we'll call that a day divided into 24 hourly time frames. Now, if you lived on Jupiter, where the planet's a lot bigger, obviously the days are going to be different lengths. So you have to have these physical bodies, planets and stars and light sources, moving along in a physical medium that's called space. Although space, you know, it's like air. You can't breathe it, touch it, see it. We know it's a real medium because we can see light traveling through space, and light actually gets bent from black holes and other astronomical phenomena out there. But before any of that existed, the Bible says there was God. So God is a supernatural being, meaning he's above nature. He's not bound by the physical universe that he made. So what I'm saying there is, the universe is not big to him. When you and I want to measure something or try to define how big something is, let's consider our Milky Way. We're told it's 100,000 light years across. So if you and I could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, it would take 100,000 years to cross it. So you have to have, you've got to first be able to measure the distance between these physical, you know, attributes. You've then got to use a framework of reference to measure it, in this case, speed, and then you calculate time. So there are three aspects to that. But if God is beyond the universe that he made, he's not only here right now talking to you and me, he's also right now 100,000 light years away at the edge of the Milky Way. I often say to people, how long did it take him to get there? Well, it didn't take him any time, because these physical attributes do not apply to him. So it doesn't take him any more time to build a big universe or a small one. He is a timeless being that is not bound in size, etc. That's why God is unique. And when we think about miracles, I said he is supernatural. Miracles are an act of God where he acts above nature. In other words, he intervenes in our time space, and he can add to the very laws of physics that he's created here. And that gives us a bit of an insight. Now, God is unique, but we also understand that there are these non kind of physical, tangible, non-tangible beings, at least in their realm, who are able also to manifest in our realm physically as well. When you read the Bible, it talks about these angels appearing before God, talking to him. God acknowledges that they interact. God even sends his angels to interact with human beings. A classic example is of what happened in Egypt with the 10 plagues. We saw, you know, nature actually affected in a severe way through the act of God's destroying angel there. So very, very hard for us to go to that supernatural realm. We can't go there. We can't test it. So we have to, I believe, use a source from someone who has been there. And one great source, I believe, are the words of Jesus Christ himself. People would remember before his crucifixion, he stood before the Roman governor there, or Roman leader, Pontius Pilate, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place." So right there, he gives us an example that he came from another realm, etc.
All right, very good. My special guest tonight is author Gary Bates, and we are discussing his book, Alien Intrusion, and I will have more for you when we return right after this. All right, we are back, and my special guest is Gary Bates, and his book is Alien Intrusion. That book is available for you on Amazon. Now, Gary, I want to talk about, let me see where I want to go with this. All right, so we always hear about these people that are taking, they are taken against their will. Most of the time, they are never able to do anything about it. But have you known anyone that's reportedly been able to stop an alien abduction?
Yes. I mean, people can stop it in some cases by active will or resistance, but they never actually ever stop it long term. So they can resist, it goes away, and it comes back. And one of the things that I discovered, and I came across the research of a couple of guys based in Florida. And one of them has become a good friend. His name is Joe Jordan. He was a field investigator for MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, down in Florida. He's now living in South Korea, and he, in fact, is the national director for MUFON in South Korea. Both Joe and his colleague, Wes Clark at the time, were not Christians. And they said, instead of looking at who has been abducted by aliens, what they believe were aliens, he said, is there any group of people who have not been abducted? They kind of tried to think outside the box. And then they said, yeah, let's revisit some of the cases and the research they'd looked at. And then they noticed some cases where people had called upon the name of Jesus Christ and had halted the experience. And they wrote, they did an interview with the Florida Today newspaper, and they mentioned a man by the name of Bill D. And they talked about his experience. It was a classic abduction experience. He felt like his own description, had a pole up his rectum. He was paralyzed. Before the experience, his dogs were barking, etc. And he could just remember from his childhood days, being brought up in a Christian country, and he just, in the moment of terror, called out on the name of Jesus. And he said that these beings even squealed like they were in pain and stopped. So Joe gave an interview with the Florida Today newspaper, and it got picked up. I think what was interesting with Joe's testimony is he rang his colleagues in MUFON. And to his surprise, even though he thought he'd come across something quite unique, why do aliens not like Christians, was the way he put it. He said his colleagues in MUFON already knew about it, but he said they didn't know what to do with it, and said, it was kind of, okay, yeah, so aliens don't like Christians, big deal. But he decided to take it a step further, and he started to go through the research, and he started to see there were more and more cases of this happening. And the Florida Today newspaper got syndicated. The article got syndicated, and it set off a firestorm. And he literally got contacted by dozens and dozens and dozens of people who'd had the same experience, and it had been halted in the name of Christ. Now, in some occasions, the experience did return, But when they called out on the name of Christ again and resisted it, the evidence is that it has never, ever returned again. And we featured a lot of these people in the movie Alien Intrusion Unmasking a Deception, which, if I can give a plug, Kay, is available on DVD now here in the United States, only been out a few weeks. They can go to creation.com, the web store, and search for it there. But we've interviewed a lot of these people, and they've said the same thing, that even on the occasion when it tried to manifest itself again, they called out on the name of Jesus and it stopped. So people have called out on the name of Jesus, they've become Christians, etc. It's put a halt to it permanently. And Joe revealed to me that he now has over 400 cases. Now, not everyone wants to give their name, of course, with these things. You can see a lot of his research on their CE4 website, but he's got over 400 cases. So, you know, if people are listening at this and saying, wow, this is just typical Christian hyperbole, I would ask them to revisit what we've spoken about, how it manifests, the evidence of it, that is consistent with the history in the Bible, and then to me, the kind of the home run is, why are these aliens frightened of the name of Jesus? Some people believe is just a mythical or archaic or dead religious leader who's, you know, in a tomb buried somewhere and he didn't really rise from the dead, etc. Why? Because this is evidence. You know, 400 people are not going to just make up stories and lie. And as I said, some of these people were not even professing Christians at the time of their experience. But the Bible basically also says that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that if God's the creator, then I think he's capable of keeping his promises.
Oh, absolutely. That is very interesting. Never heard that before. Now, I want to ask you about missing people. That this has been occurring at an alarming rate, and I'm talking about the people that are never seen again. The last time that I looked, Gary, it was well up over a million plus reported on the FBI list. This is worldwide. Do you think this is directly tied to the alien phenomena?
My own view is that it's not. And again, you've got to take the scientific approach. It's because we have no evidence that it's linked to that. The fact is, Kay, unfortunately, people disappear for a whole bunch of reasons. I'll give you an example. Some people might remember that movie a few years ago called The Fourth Kind. Mila Jovovich was in it. And what they did is they actually created some dummy websites, news websites, that claimed that the disappearance of these people in Nome, Alaska, was tied to alien abductions. And the movie created a scenario of a psychiatrist who was living there that was interviewing these people, and they were under hypnosis. They were talking about their alleged abduction event, et cetera, et cetera. When you dug a little bit deeper, yes, there were people disappearing in Nome, Alaska, and the majority actually had been accounted for. People had, you know, there was a problem with alcohol amongst the indigenous community there, and sometimes people would drink too much and then not make it home and freeze in the middle of the night. And sometimes they wouldn't find their bodies until years later, frozen in the tundra, or they'd fall into freezing cold water. Sometimes they'd find the bodies, sometimes they wouldn't find the bodies. So I only mention that as one example where you can kind of say, well, here are a bunch of missing people. And again, let's suggest that it's the whole alien or UFO phenomena that is causing their disappearance. Yeah, and I also want to be careful here, because I have said, even though it is spiritual in nature, people are being physically affected, and some of them are severely physically affected and damaged as a result of it. So is it possible that they kill people? Yeah, because again, the evidence in the Bible is that angels have killed people. We haven't found their bodies. Do I think that their bodies have been taken away or whisked off to another place? No, because I don't think it's – I think that's beyond the realm or the capability of these supernatural beings to do that. I think only the creator could have that potential. We have a couple of episodes in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we hear about a man who was raptured, which was Enoch, because he found favor with God. So God took him away in the physical realm. Then, of course, there was the prophet Elijah, who was also taken up. So they're the only examples we have of physical beings being taken up. And, of course, the Lord Jesus himself, which the Bible says over 500 witnesses saw him taken up into the clouds and disappear. But we see again there God supernaturally intending his will upon creation. So, yes, some people have disappeared. They may have been killed, affected, tormented in some way. Maybe we've just never found their bodies, or maybe they've been hidden. But I do not believe that they've been whisked away to another realm or dimension or taken on a spaceship to another planet. No.
Okay. I do want to get your take on the recent reports in mainstream media about these interactions with the UFOs, because this is something that we have never witnessed, and it's been taken seriously, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, we know that the U.S. government has been investigating UFOs for over 40 years. There's the original projects were signed, Grudge, then Blue Book, and then, of course, we had the Condon report. So if the government has been studying them, it's been studying them because there's something to study. They've obviously taken them seriously. And J. Allen Hynek, who I mentioned before, he ended up leaving the government's investigations and starting his own organization called QFOS, or the Center for UFO Studies. And one of the reasons is he said, and we actually also have this in the movie, he became frustrated at the government's attempt to make every or give the public the information that every UFO sighting could be explained naturalistically, man-made phenomena, etc.
Okay, so why do you think they were doing that? That's one question that I've always had. So why would the government want to put out false information to the public about these beings?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to look at the times, and I think the times have changed now, and that's why I'll get to it. I think why we are starting to see the release of information. In my book, I wrote that previous studies had shown that, in the 50s, 60s, even the 70s, that the release of information to the public, potentially, if you said, we are being visited by aliens traveling here from a galaxy far, far away, would actually have a traumatic effect on society. Now, since then, of course, evolution is the reigning paradigm. We've got science fiction movies. Pretty much everybody believes that aliens have been visiting us. In fact, in the movie we showed a poll. It was a CNN poll that said over 80% of Americans believe that aliens have either visited us in the past or are currently visiting us. And then the majority of that group said that they believe that the government knows about it and has been covering it up. So this is kind of where science fiction becomes mainstream fact. And just recently, we saw evidence released by the head of the department, no longer working there. He released some footage of a U.S. Fighter plane tracking a UFO. And he said that the government's still spending about $20 million a year under the Obama administration tracking these things. Now, I genuinely believe that was a soft release. The Disclosure Project has said the government knows a lot more than they're letting on. I believe that. Unfortunately, Stephen Greer is a New Ager who is trying to prove that UFO aliens are really visiting us. But I look at it this way, Kate. I mentioned before the Washington Press Club, when you see evidence on radar of some lights or some objects defying the laws of physics, tampering with our nuclear weapons, if you don't have the right lens or filter to interpret it, so I interpret it from a spiritual realm, the only other conclusion that people have is this really must be, aliens visiting us from a distant galaxy with some advanced technology. And I think that the movement now is so strong, there is so much information out there that the government cannot deny that there are things that they can't explain. So how else are they going to explain it? I think we are, in fact, being prepared perhaps for an announcement someday by authorities that we are seeing things, and that their belief is it's possibly, technology or beings visiting us. I think they'll say it's from an interdimensional realm. I don't think that they will say that we're seeing them visit from a planet far, far away, because one of the things about the phenomenon is we've never seen it enter our atmosphere from outside. In other words, all the tracks we've had on radar, etc., it appears and it disappears within our physical realm. We've never seen it, flying past Mars or Jupiter on its way to get here. They appear here and they disappear. So I think they'll say it's interdimensional. But I wonder, even if in my lifetime, whether we'll see a time when the government will actually now fess up and say that we've been seeing things. Governments like to appear in control too. If the government turned around and said, hey, we're seeing these things, it's affected our nuclear weapons, but hey, folks, don't worry. We don't know what it is, but don't panic. No. People might panic. Now, consider the Mexican government. Mexico's a UFO hotspot. They've been very candid. They've released footage of their radars, their planes tracking these objects, and they basically put their hand up and said, here it is, we don't know what it is. So, the US government might actually look at those other examples and say, you know what, it didn't cause widespread panic. And plus, they are being pressured by the Disclosure Project all over the world to, candidly release the information.
Okay. Now, my last question for you, Gary, is are these fallen angels here because it's been prophesized in the Bible?
Yes, it has. There's lots of examples in the New Testament. It says that people will be taken in by lying, false wonders, lying signs. Even if we, the Apostle Paul writes, or an angel from heaven should preach another gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Jesus himself says about the false Christs, false messiahs. And in my study and going to UFO conferences, you often see a lot of people from the UFO cults there. These are the more disturbing ones. You might remember years ago, Heaven's Gate, where, they killed themselves. The Solar Temple group set fire to themselves. Heaven's Gate believed that a flying saucer was traveling behind Halley-Bopp Comet and was going to take their spirits away with them, which is why they had to kill themselves first. So there's a more disturbing aspect. But a lot of these people in the cults always have a guru or a leader at the top who they regard as some divine or enlightened being. I first met the Raelians at a UFO conference, and they, every time I mentioned the name Rael, they wouldn't even let me pronounce his name Rael, because they said, we don't utter his name because he is the Messiah. And they actually used those words. So that kind of fits the Bible's view as well. And again, I could just mention dozens and dozens. Men will depart from the truth. We're in an age where kind of traditional religion is being poo-pooed and not regarded, and kind of science, or unfortunately science fiction, people think is going to fix holes in our ozone and save us from global warming. And if you look at all the writers in the modern ufology movement, they have their own prophecies as well. Barbara Marciniak is a New Age writer. She writes about idea that the fuddy-duddy people are going to get taken off the earth, presumably Christians, to allow Mother Earth to evolve into its next stage of ascendancy. There are writings where it kind of sounds like rapture events that are mentioned in the Bible, where people are going to be lifted off the earth and taken away and taken to some other planet, because, again, we're the ones that are holding the earth back. So there are all sorts of views there. And I certainly do believe that we are at that time when the Bible says that people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will accommodate for themselves teachers that their itching ears want to hear. But I've said time and time again, even during this interview, everything we're seeing, even this change in modern times and the people's departure from conventional religion is leading us to a time of great deception. And why? Here's the big thing. Why? Because, again, if you look at the Bible's history, right at the very beginning, it tells us that a cosmic war began. A fallen angel, an angelic being by the name of Lucifer, commonly given the name devil, the devil. But he formed the first deception. And when we say deception, what do we mean? Well, to be deceived means to be conned into something that, you know, is not true. And he appeared as a being called Lucifer. And Lucifer literally means being of light or bearer of light. And then the New Testament tells us that they would masquerade as an angel of light as well. So we get an idea that people will be conned into believing that something is good, holy, when in fact it's quite the opposite. And again, you actually have to look at the nature of the experience to try to figure out really what's behind it all.
Okay, very good, Gary. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I want to give you an opportunity now to tell my listeners where they can find more information about you and anything else you're working on.
Thank you, Kay. I appreciate that. Well, creation.com is our ministry's website. Under the events page, there's speaker bios there. But, you know, that website's got about 40 years worth of creation information. Most of it's aimed at a lay level. People can type in questions and say, hey, you know, if we all started from Adam and Eve, who did Cain marry? Where did the races come from? What about dinosaurs? My book and the movie, as which I said, has only just come out on DVD, called Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception, are available there on the store. And they can also go to Amazon.com and see that it's available there as well.
All right. Many blessings to you, Gary, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Kay. It's been great to be with you.
All right. I want to thank my special guest, Gary Bates, for joining me tonight. What do you think, guys? Let me know. I would love, love to know your thoughts on this. So many things only make sense if this were true for me. I mean, I'm only one person, and I have my own opinion, and I know you have yours. Please post those in the comment section. And if you want me to send these to him, I will. Gary and the rest of the guests that I have on the show are always open to your questions, so please reach out to them if you have any. Another thing I would like for you guys to do is, if you happen to look up like I do all the time and you happen to catch something weird in the sky, take a picture of it or a video and send it to me, okay? I would love to know what you're seeing out there in your part of the world. I'm still seeing some very weird stuff here in Knoxville. If you can photograph whatever's happening there or videotape it, please share it, okay? We would all love to know what you're looking at. I think we are the only ones, the only people in the world that are awake to this stuff anyway, right? Okay, I want to thank you guys always for being so supportive, so understanding. You keep my spirits up. You keep us motivated. We do it all for you, and I can't thank you enough. I want to thank my producer tonight, Kim, and the Mysterious Radio team. I am your host, K-Town. You guys have a great night, and I will see you next time on Mysterious Radio.
Like the show? Get more Mysterious Radio on our website. And don't forget to visit our Twitter and Facebook page.